Amen. You may have a seat. This is the part I've been looking for this morning. Kiddos, you are dismissed. I wasn't looking forward to that because you were leaving. I'm looking forward to that because it's fun to watch your excitement. Sounded bad, didn't it? Well, as many of you know, the last few months we've been going through the book of Mark, and we're going to continue with that this morning. And I have the honor of reading today's passage. So we'll pick it up in Mark 9, starting at verse 2. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and covered them, and a voice came from the cloud, "This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. They kept the matter to themselves, discussing what rising from the dead meant. And they asked him, "Why do the teachers of the law say that Elijah must come first?" Jesus replied, "To be sure, Elijah does come first and restores all things. Why then is it written that the Son of Man must suffer much and be rejected? But I tell you, Elijah has come, and they have done to him everything they wished, just as it is written about him." This is the reading of God's word. Let's pray. So, Father God, we do. We thank you for your word. We thank you for who you are. And Lord, I pray that this place would be like the mountaintop, that you're come, that you would just settle upon us, that we could hear your audible voice, that we could see you more clearly, that we could see you glorified for who you truly are. Lord, so I just pray blessing over Andrew, that you would give him wisdom and discernment as he teaches your word this morning. And would you give us ears to hear and hearts to receive all that you have for us this morning. And may it be so. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Yeah. This week, Camille and I, someone gave us tickets to go to the Brandon Lake concert in Des Moines. So he's a Christian worship artist. There's 9,000 people in the arena. And there's just a wow factor to it. There's these songs to heaven, there's screens, there's artistry, there's lights, there's volume, there's energy, there's all these things, and you're like, okay, I mean, is this kind of what heaven's like? It's just all this focus of Jesus, and again, a wow factor. However, what would it be like to be in a Taylor Swift concert? Would that be like heaven? I mean, we're talking about a lot of the same things, like the artistry, the choreography, the technology, the music, the emotion, all those things. It just feels like this is worthy of worship. I've been to a lot of concerts back in my day. I went to Michael Jackson Bad concert, huh? I didn't have any Michael Jackson cassette tapes. Some of you can check later what those are. I didn't have any of those. I didn't listen to them, but somebody said, "You want to go to this?" We went, and I mean, it was wow. It was like transporting me to another world. Now, there is something different about what you feel and what you experience when you go to a Guns N' Roses concert compared to when you go to a DC Talk concert. And yes, I've been to both those. There is a spiritual difference, but many of these elements that make us go, wow, when you're at a Christian concert, you could say like, this is God. But there's a lot of those same things that if it's not God. I say all that because we're talking about this story of a transfiguration where Jesus is changed and his eternal glory is made known in his very body and being. It's a wow factor to the guys that are there. Like, whoa. And one of the questions that I have is like, why don't you do some of that more, Jesus? Like right now. Like if Jesus somehow was going to show his glory in brilliance and brightness and right here. And if he did that to you, and especially if he did that for you and just a couple other people. Then I think, well, now I'm good. I'll be changed forever. My life will never be the same. I'll be all about God. If he would do something like that for me, then I wouldn't have doubts anymore. Then I'd be all in. Well, when he did do that in the Bible, I want to suggest it wasn't that that kept people close to God for the long haul. It wasn't that that got them ready for the glory that they're going to have, because Jesus showed his glory to people who he was going to share his glory with someday. And by the way, that's the invitation for all of us who would choose to follow Jesus, that out of his grace we would receive him, we would start to become like him, and we would be prepared for the glory that's going to be revealed in us, that we will be changed, we will have glorified bodies. That's where the destiny is headed for those who follow Jesus. And so here, I want to say, is like a pathway of preparation for glory in this passage. But it's not, man, if there'd just be more wow. I like the wow. I want the wow. Angelic visitations, I'd take them. Visions, dreams, yes. Miracles, yes. But there is something else more solid to hang on to than the wows if we want to follow Jesus for the long haul. The disciples were all ready to go for the wows, but they were missing it. They didn't see it clearly. And even after a wow, at the end, what Judd just read, he's like trying to talk about suffering and the resurrection. And they're like, I don't get it. They just saw the wow. They still didn't get it. So the key for me and what I want to focus on today is verse 7. Then a cloud appeared and covered them with a voice from the cloud. And a voice came from the cloud. This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him. Then a cloud appeared and covered them, and a voice came from the cloud. This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him. We're going to get back to this verse, but to help us understand this verse, I want to read through the verses that lead up to it. And I'm going to start a couple verses later, what we ended with last week, because in our Bibles, they put in numbers to help us be able to find stuff. Kind of strange, though, in this one, there's a verse, and then there's the new chapter 9. But really, it makes it seem like something new's happened, but the verse right before chapter 9 matters. And then right after chapter 9, verse 1, in a lot of our Bibles, is like a heading, the transfiguration. But really, it didn't just start there. They're supposed to, these three verses are supposed to flow together. They make more sense if you understand them together. So chapter 8, verse 38, if anyone is ashamed of me, Jesus says, and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory. Glory is going to be the big thing. With the holy angels. And Jesus said to them, truly I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see that kingdom of God, that the kingdom of God has come with power. Some aren't going to taste death. Maybe that means some, you aren't even going to, you're going to see the kingdom of God with power before you die, or taste death. You're going to see the kingdom of power before you taste that I died, or you taste death because I died. Before that, why do I think it's before that? Next verse. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up on a high mountain where they were all alone. Now, I'm going to have some bolded words up there, and there's reason for the bolded words. I like the Bible Project. It's they got videos that explain like any book of the Bible with themes. They got themes in the whole Bible. These are Bible scholars that do things really well. And one of the things that they talk about, they especially help me with the Old Testament. The first five books of the Bible, they talk about hyperlinks, that there are repeated phrases that will point you back to another phrase or another thought or another story. So if I'm looking up on the website, on Wikipedia, I might be reading something and there's a hyperlink. Well, I can click on that and find out more about that. Well, the Bible is the same way. It's pointing you back and forth like, this will make more sense if you remember this. I put this idea or word in here because it's supposed to remind you of this, or you're supposed to compare it to that. So I think there are some hyperlinks, potential hyperlinks in this passage that will help us understand verse 7. So, high mountain, we'll remember that as a potential hyperlink. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. How he appeared to them, they're grasping for words. They're grasping for a description because it's like nothing any human's seen before. So it is dazzling, it is bright, it is brilliant, it is, okay, very, so white, we don't know how to describe white because it's so bright. Next, verse 3, 4. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Now, for people like Peter, James, and John, who just know the stories of Moses and Elijah, they know there is a lot to think, like, what do we know about Moses and Elijah? Okay, that is going to help us figure out what verse 7 is. Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Now, shelters, it's really tabernacle, tents. Let us put up three tents here. Let's think about tents and tabernacles. That might be another hyperlink. And then verse 6, he did not know what to say because they were so frightened. They were so frightened. Now, when you put all these things together and we get back to verse 7, then a cloud appeared and covered them, and a voice came from the cloud. "This is my son whom I love. Listen to him." Clouds, if you look up clouds in the Bible, there's a lot about glory. Clouds of glory. This morning, the sun rose, the clouds were taking on the pinks, it was just like, yeah, that. I'm thinking about this, and I'm like, yeah, it's glory. Yeah, there's something glorious about the clouds at certain points and as they change. What I want to do for a little while is talk about clouds and Moses and see if the stories about clouds and Moses help us understand this verse 7. "This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him," because it happens amidst a cloud. Okay, so we're going to start chapter 13 of Exodus. We're going back to Moses' stories. Hang on. We're going to move. Verse 21 and 22, this is after the 10 plagues have happened and the children of Israel who were slaves are all moving out. They're getting released from Egypt. And it says, "By day the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so that they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people." So the Lord was in the cloud. The Lord was guiding them by the cloud. If we kept on reading, we would see, well, the Pharaoh and his army start chasing them, and they're pinned against the water, and the cloud goes between the Egyptians and the Israelites to protect them. This is what we learn about the cloud. The Lord is in it. The Lord is guiding by it. The Lord is protecting with it. Then we go on. I'm skipping a couple times where the cloud shows up, where the glory of the Lord is seen in a cloud, but I'm going to get to chapter 19, verse 16. Here they are. Let me just read it first. "On the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning with a thick cloud over the mountain." Oh, mountain. "And a very loud trumpet blast. Everyone in the camp trembled, frightened, terrified." We got some hyperlinks here. So they are at a very high mountain, Mount Sinai, in this story, Moses and the Israelites. And a cloud comes down. And the cloud comes down, and the people are scared, and they're scared because the mountain's on fire. I mean, when you see something on fire that's not usually on fire, you kind of like can jump back a little bit. When I'm driving around and I see a fire, you know, whether it's coming out of an engine or even just someone at first, if I don't know that it's a controlled fire, I just, a whole mountain on fire. That I've never seen. And so then the voice of the Lord, a voice from heaven comes down. The mountain's on fire. The cloud is down. Its smoke is going. A voice from heaven comes down, and the people are scared. And what God goes on to say, what he speaks is, I'm the one who rescued you from Egypt. You shall have no other gods before me. You shouldn't make an image, anything in the image that you would worship. You shouldn't misuse my name. Remember the Sabbath day. He starts saying the 10 words, the 10 commandments. He's telling them what to do and instructing them. He gets done with that, and the people say, hey, Moses, how about you go talk to God? We'll stay here. You talk to God. You tell us what God says, and we'll do it. So Moses, don't be afraid. So Moses goes up. There's a lot of up and downs in this little spot where Moses is going up the mountain, down the mountain. He came back down the mountain. He talked to the people again. And then there's this, Exodus chapter 24, verse 15. When Moses went up on the mountain, the cloud covered it. And the glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai for 6 days. 6 days. 6 days. We just heard about 6 days. Maybe there's supposed to be a connection of all the stories of Moses and what that means and what's happening in this transfiguration story. For 6 days, the cloud covered the mountain, and on the seventh day, the Lord called to Moses from within the cloud. To the Israelites, the glory of the Lord looked like a consuming fire on top of the mountain. Then Moses entered the cloud as he went up on the mountain, and he stayed on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. When clouds show up, they reveal God's glory, and they conceal God's glory. Like, the cloud showing up is like, God is here. I mean, he's really here. He's tangibly here. He's visibly here. We can feel it that he's here. And also, he's somewhere back there. Moses is going up to where he really is. Okay, better keep going. Exodus chapter 33, verse 7 through 11. One of my favorite passages of all time. Now Moses used to take a tent, here we are, tent, a shelter, and pitch it outside the camp, some distance away, calling it the tent of meeting. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. And whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose and stood at the entrances to their tents, watching Moses until he entered the tent. As Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. Whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance to the tent, they all stood and worshiped each at the entrance of their tents. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, but his young aide, Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. So again, when the cloud came down, God is there. It's like revealing, there's God. And we're worshiping God. But Moses would go into that cloud. And then he'd talk to him like a friend. Chapter 34, just a little bit later, we hear this story about what's happening. It's another time. Now, this is when Moses is on the mountain yet another time. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the covenant law in his hands, he was not aware that his face was radiant. It was bright because he had spoken with the Lord. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, his face was radiant, and they were afraid to come near him. So God's presence, there's a brightness to it, and it comes, and the response is terrified. But Moses called to them. So Aaron and all the leaders, the community, came back to him, and he spoke to them. Afterward, all the Israelites came near him, and he gave them all the commands the Lord had given him on Mount Sinai. When Moses finished speaking to them, he put a veil over his face. This is so strange to me. He put a veil over his face because they could not handle it. But whenever he entered the Lord's presence to speak with the Lord, he removed the veil until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what he had been commanded, they saw that his face was radiant. Then Moses would put the veil back over his face until he went in to speak with the Lord. Very repetitious. But you get the idea then. So now, going back to verse 7 of Mark. Then a cloud appeared and covered the Lord, covered them, and a voice came from the cloud, "This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him." Now, I've always thought when I've read this passage, and I think this is probably more likely to be the right way to understand this than not, but when Peter says, "Hey, it's good for us to be here. Let's put up tents for you." I always felt like that was like, "This is so good. We want this forever. This forever. Let's stay here forever." And that could be what he's saying, although he doesn't even know what he's saying, it says. But there's a way in which I've thought about it a different way. There's a way in which, like, "Hey, let's put up tents for you guys, and you guys could go in those tents. And that might make me feel a little safer out here." Because that's what those other stories are like. When God shows up, and God wants to talk with people, he wants to be in relationship with people, he says, "I've rescued you for a reason. I love you. You're my treasured possession. You, let's do this together. Let's go." They're like, "Ah, it's a little too much God. That's a little too much God. I mean, we want you, God. We like that you're with us. We like that you have glory. But wow, like, I feel like I'm going to die. This feels like massive change." Now remember that Jesus is with three people that he wants to massively change, because he's getting them ready for glory. And they have in their mind, this is what it looks like. You know, just, was it last week or a couple weeks ago where Peter is saying, like, "You can't suffer. I know what this looks like." And she's like, "No, you don't yet. I have to show you." And so, I wonder whether we really want the glory. Come, God. Well, if he comes, he's coming to change us for our good, that he could do good through us for glory. But there is something in a human heart, I think, that when it's really God, it's like, "Woof, I want it, and I don't know if I want it." It's scary. So, Mark 9:7, listen to him. Listen to him. Listen in the Bible, most of the time, if you see "listen" or "hear" in the Bible, it isn't just take this in audibly. It is hear and obey. Take it in and put it into practice. Pay attention to this and do it. Listen to him. One more cloud Moses example of what listening looks like, but this is visual listening. Numbers, so this is a number of years further on than the stories we just read. On the day that the tabernacle, the tent of the covenant of law was set up, the cloud covered it. From evening till morning, the cloud above the tabernacle looked like fire. That is how it continued to be. The cloud covered it, and at night it looked like fire. Whenever the cloud lifted up from above the tent, the Israelites set out. Wherever the cloud settled, the Israelites encamped. At the Lord's commands, the Israelites set out, and at his command, they encamped. Whatever he said, that's what they did. And how did he say it? He said it with a cloud. As long as the cloud stayed over the tabernacle, they remained in camp. When the cloud remained over the tabernacle a long time, the Israelites obeyed the Lord's order and did not set out. Sometimes the cloud was over the tabernacle only a few days. At the Lord's command, they would encamp, and then at his command, they would set out. Sometimes the cloud stayed only from evening till morning, and when it lifted in the morning, they set out, whether by day or by night. Whenever the cloud lifted, they set out. Whether the cloud stayed over the tabernacle for 2 days or a month or a year, the Israelites would remain in the camp and not set out. But when it lifted, they would set out. You think they're trying to make a point here? At the Lord's command, they encamped, and at the Lord's command, they set out. They obeyed the Lord's order in accordance with the command of Moses. And so in Mark 7, he says, listen to him. Pay attention to him. And if you sense that he wants this, then you go. And if he sense he wants this, then you don't say anything. Listen to him. Listen to him. I think this is the pathway to glory. Listen to him. It's not just a commanding officer barking out orders that we have to dutifully obey, though. One more. You know, this is my son whom I love. Listen to him. Isn't it's like this? We've heard this before in Mark, right? Well, Mark 1:11 says this. Said Jesus' baptism. Says, and a voice came from heaven. You are my son whom I love. With you I am well pleased. There, God is talking to Jesus. The Father talking to Jesus, the Son. Here, sounds really similar, but the difference is, this is my Son, whom I love. Listen to him. It's who he's talking to there. Jesus has just stayed in that love. He knows that love. He renews that he is loved. And now, the Father is telling people, the audience, this is the loved one. Listen to him. Now, Jesus is going to go on to say, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now, remain in my love. So we listen to Jesus out of an awareness of the love of God. We're willing to move when he wants us to move, to stay when he wants us to stay, because we can trust the one who gave his life for us, who loves us, who has our best interests in mind, and so we can listen to him. There's another character in this, and that is Jesus. And that is, Jesus is the character. That is Elijah. I don't have the same time to go through the stories of Elijah, but Elijah also was on a high mountain. And Elijah also battled prophets and voices and all this demonstration of the wow. And he gave a bigger demonstration of the wow. And he called down fire from heaven. I mean, can you imagine calling down fire from heaven and fire coming? And it didn't rain for 3 years in the land, and he had said that before the 3 years started. And then he prayed, and a little cloud started. He prayed a little more, and a little cloud. The cloud got a little bigger, a little bigger, a little bigger. And it didn't become a big cloud yet, but he got done praying, and he went, and all of a sudden the cloud, and rain came, and it came like in a monsoon. And so you would think that someone who has experienced the wow of God in that level, like, I know when the fires come to tall fire down, I know when the rain starts, you would think they're pretty much set in their spiritual life with God and in life in general. And instead, he went into depression. He got freaked out with anxiety. He went up high on a mountain and he said, God, you might as well kill me. Because I thought life was going to look like this after the fire came down and the rain started. And it doesn't look anything like that. And I'm all alone. Nobody understands. And on that mountain, a huge wind comes. And it says, God's not in the wind. And then an earthquake comes. God's not in the earthquake. And then fire comes. God's not in the fire. And then a whisper, a still small voice. That's where he is. He says, what are you doing here, Elijah? He thought, everybody's against me. I'm the only one left. You might as well die. And then God speaks. And he says, why don't you go? You're not all alone. There are people here. You're going to go do this. You're going to go do that. And Elijah did it. And his perspective changed. The thing about Elijah and Moses is they had an interactive relationship with God. They had a friendship with God. And that is the key. That is the pathway to glory. A friendship in which we recognize we're not like equals. He knows best, but there's still a way to be honest. I keep coming back to, in this last year, that God named his people, leading up to the time of Jesus, the ones who wrestle with me. Israel means wrestling, wrestle with God. Like there's a way we're in relationship with God, we're honest with God, and we listen to God. That is part of what we do. We listen to God. And when we listen to God and really pay attention, there are times when he can speak in, and what we'll find out is what we're preoccupied with, he wants to talk to us about something else. There's times when what we're preoccupied with and we can't figure it out, he might say this. Oh, well, that doesn't clear up everything, but now I know my next step. When we're preoccupied with this, he might just want to tell us he loves us. When we're preoccupied with this is what's bad about this and this is why it's unfair, and say, you might want to change this about you. And we discover those things when we listen to him. Now, we are gathering to go with the presence of Jesus. You may have picked up some of the presence of God in this stories. And the presence of God and the way it comes in glory and radiance in a tangible way when Moses talks with him, when he's in relationship with him. We're gathering to go with that presence. And I think, for good reason, when the worship music is playing and we're worshiping, for some of us, maybe many of us, there's like, yeah, I kind of expect that there's going to be moments where I know he's present here and he's with me. But he also speaks in still small whispers. And one of the ways that Jesus especially makes himself known to us and his presence known to us in tangible ways is through his word. We don't need the lights, don't need the... Through his word, where he changes us, where he comes near us, where he, through his word. And so, before we close with a song, and maybe there'll be more than one song you never quite know around here, but before we do that, our response is going to be to listen. Just to listen to his word. I'm going to invite Camille to come up. I've asked her to be prayerfully ready to share scripture. I don't have any scriptures in mind, so I'll see what comes into my head. But we just want to take time to listen. And maybe as scripture is read, it becomes like background music and noise because you're able to connect with God and he's got thoughts going on and he's guiding you through that. Maybe there'll be a phrase or word in one of these scriptures read that is just for you. We're praying it so, but what we're really doing is inviting, like, we want to meet with you, God. More than the wow, we need you, a relationship with you. That's what will prepare us for the glory you have for us. So I'll pray, and then we'll enter into it. Come, Holy Spirit, you, the one who inspired the writing, the recording, the passing down of these words, the translating of these words to us. Would you also translate the words into our hearts now? That the very words of God would come into our thoughts and our thinking in the ways that each of us need it most. Thank you that you can personalize in a room like this. You can come up and talk to each one of us individually. And we pray that you would. In Jesus' name.
Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest.
As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete.
Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, or what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they?
My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servant, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Those who have ears to hear, let them hear.
Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Consider carefully what you hear, Jesus continued. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken from him. Consider carefully what you hear.
As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. So we're just going to keep a posture of listening. Matt's going to transition us as he seems best into our last song. But in the meantime, let's keep listening to the one who loves us.